Welcome to my daily teaching video. It is great to have you here with me today. And hey, Namoma, I'm going to begin a little mini-series this week where I'm going to be teaching all week long about what it truly means to worship in spirit and in truth. And I'd love you to come along on a little journey with me today, and I want to challenge you about that phrase most of us have heard for donkey's years. We've heard for years about worshiping in spirit and truth, and I've just been getting lots of revelation on that recently and thinking about what it truly means and how to practically do that. So I'm going to do about 3 teaching videos and a Q&A session on that, but let me just say it's great to have you here with me. Today I am in France, as you probably see. I'm in the city or town of Saint-Étienne, Stéphanois. And I lived in this town for several years, planted a church in this town. We used to have a Christian cafe in this town that would run as a cafe, and on Saturday night we'd turn it into church and fill it with worship and the presence of God, and many great memories of this town. But I'm sitting in it's a great town. It's lots of tiny little squares and places and, you know, kind of corner things here. There's fountains, nice little cafes. So I hope you can see me in the sun, but I'm sitting here doing that, having a really great coffee. This is about €1 for a coffee, so cannot complain. Hey, before we begin that, as always, 2 quick housekeeping things. I'm trying to keep this to 2 right now, so help me do that real quick. But firstly, if you are new to my ministry, it's great to have you here. I won't give you the whole the whole spiel, but I'm British, French, American, live in the United States, have a home here in France, where I'm today, and love Jesus and lead churches, travel in ministry, write books. We have over 1 million followers or subscribers to our YouTube channel right now, so we'd love it if you'd consider joining that group as well. And then secondly, I want to say a big thank you to all of the partners of my ministry as well. A lot of what I'm called to do in this sphere, in this realm, is to take these teaching videos where I share in a kind of natural, normal way, and put them especially in front of young people and especially in front of young men. So I really have a vision right now to reach young Muslim men, and you know, that can be in places like Saudi Arabia, Iran, Egypt, but I'll tell you, it's also in places like France. In the town where I am right now in France, I think the Muslim, kind of Arab, they call it here, population is about 60% of the town. And one of the reasons I actually love doing videos out in public in a cafe is I see what you can't see. People will literally end up standing behind the camera watching everybody. Everybody wants to be on TV, but everybody, especially if a young person, wants to be on YouTube. So people always come and ask, what is this? What's your channel? How many followers have you? I had some young guys the other day getting very impressed when I told them how many followers I had. So I'd appreciate you praying about becoming a partner to that ministry and helping send that message on to others. Boom. So let's begin. I want to do today, my sunglasses on, so I can see. There you go. That's much better. I actually want to get you thinking about what it truly means to worship in spirit and worship in truth. And again, famous verse. Let me just read it for you. Jesus says in John 4:23 and 24, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. And of course, the next verse, he says, God is spirit. Not God is a spirit, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, probably if you've been a believer like I have for a while, not my first rodeo, been a believer for 40 years, you've heard that verse once or twice. It's a verse that will often be quoted, requoted. It's often a verse that's sort of said in a you know, a gathering, a prayer. Well, today we're going to worship in spirit and in truth. If I can be truly honest with you, I've never really found an explanation of that that satisfies me. It's always seemed to me, I think I'm being fair here, but also truthful, that it's sort of people read into that what they wish to read into that. Sometimes we project into those verses our own prejudices, our own specialities. I've been around different sort of streams of Christianity, he'll come to that verse, and, you know, my Pentecostal charismatic friends, and I'm one of them, speaking tongues every day, you know, we'll come to that and say, yeah, Jesus is speaking about worship in the Spirit. You know, amen. My more traditional sort of evangelical reform, whatever friends will sometimes focus more on the truth, and then the Spirit becomes the means. They will say, no, that's talking about worshiping with good theological sound truth. But yeah, amen. I don't have any problem with that. The Word of God is truth. John 17:17. The Spirit is Spirit. And, you know, I think people get a little nearer to the truth of this when they put it in its wider context, which in its wider context was the Samaritan lady saying, you know, where should we worship? We worship on this mountain. You guys go to Jerusalem, and which is right, which is wrong. And in a way, Jesus is saying a time will come, probably speaking of 70 AD, but frankly, he says the time is now, that the Father's not looking so much about where you worship geographically, but where you worship in your heart. So you could take this passage to mean Jesus is saying, don't worship in a religious format. Don't worship in a way where it's about the bells and the smells and the, you know, exterior peripheral things. Worship from the truth in your heart. You know, about 20, 25 years ago, there was a move, often from America, as a lot of things do, but actually this one maybe even more so from Australia, probably in the late 90s when Hillsong became a big thing. And like some of you, I've been around the worship message, the worship experience for a while, and I'm old enough, like some of you, to remember back, at least for me, in the 70s where I grew up in churches where worship was... I actually have fond memories of those places, because worship was far less about the stage and the musicians, and there often wasn't a stage or musicians. You know, I grew up in a church, in a church culture, where it would be the pastor who would lead the worship. And generally those pastors, again, I don't want to sound critical, but they'd have a terrible voice. Most pastors, after a while, develop a sort of a loud voice and a adequate voice. It may not be pretty, it may not be artistic, but it's actually very useful, because they know how to project, they know how to lead. And quite often you'd have worship led by the pastor, you know, with Mrs. Jones, no relation, Mrs. Smith, whatever, playing on the organ, on the keyboard, that kind of thing. And that's sort of what I grew up with originally. I think at least in the UK context, we'd often sing, we'd probably sing hymns, and then we'd sing what we would call choruses, which were often originally the chorus of the hymn, but then little things. And, you know, the whole idea of having an acetate, like a plastic transparent thing you put on a projector that would be projected against the wall. But very quickly, you didn't need the projector on the wall, so everybody, in effect, would be singing the same thing. There's actually a real power and a real unity around that that we've often lost. And it would be quite rare that people would be singing songs where they didn't know the words to. You know, the sort of song with three verses or whatever. Either we do hymns or we would do choruses in that way. And again, growing up in the, you know, probably more as a teenager in the 80s, there was a very clear and sharp and distinct division between what we would at the time would have called Christian music. I'm thinking like Keith Green, Petra, you know, Christian groups, Amy Grant, people who would be singing like a sort of more, a bit more commercial, not being critical, but like a Christian music song, like the Christian equivalent of pop music that one would listen to, and then worship music. And to a very large degree, those things were never mixed and never crossed. I would actually suggest, and again, I think this is, I'm just giving history, I'm not making commentary about the history. People like Michael W. Smith, who started doing more crossover worship and Christian music, and I think we sort of drifted into a place in the 90s, what the Brits would call the noughties, the 2000s and the 2010s, where this happened, where worship music and just Christian music, Christian artists, creativity got all mixed and melded together. Now, in a sense, it's probably a really good thing. There's a lot of power and good thing there. I think what happened a lot with churches like Hillsong, and a little bit later churches like Bethel and Elevation and, you know, Jesus Image later, many, many things like these, is they became centers for artistic creation. Well, quite often you'd have really amazing worship leaders who are now producing music at the level of the kind of production artists. And we sort of had this crossover where quite often the level of excellence, of performance, of artistry going on in the church rose and rose and rose and rose and rose, and the level of sound production and then stage production and literally framing the whole church building like a concert hall, making it all black, stage lights, smoke, different things like that. Again, amazing singers, worship artists began to be well known. Again, probably I'm being a little critical now, but you begin to hear people say, like, we're having a conference with worship by so-and-so, and come and hear worship by so-and-so. And then people would begin traveling and doing worship concerts, where you could legitimately ask the question, are we going to worship the Lord, or are we going to hear an amazing, well-known artist that we bought the CDs or MP3s, whatever it is, and or are we going to have some worship experience with a hall and 10,000 people and whatever? And again, all of the above. I think there's a lot of negatives and some positives to that. I think actually in the last, I would say post-COVID, with Gen Z, Generation Z, we're actually seeing a backlash against that, where I think there's a lot of young people now who have seen the, frankly, the shallowness of, and I don't want to pick on Hillsong or Bethel, because those guys are great and I love them. That's not my goal, but let me pick a kind of generic, what America would call like a kind of big box, powerful church, you know. The meetings last 1 hour, they have 5 services, and you go in and it's like some incredible rock concert. I think a lot of people have been around that and have seen the lack of depth, the shallowness of that sort of interaction, and frankly have rebelled against it. I think we're seeing a backlash that I don't like in America right now. Well, lots of people are leaving that kind of Christianity because of some of its shallowness in terms of worship experience. Frankly, some of the shallowness in terms of its leaders and character and integrity and whatever. But what there are a lot of young people are often doing is going back to things like the Roman Catholic Church, the Church of Rome, the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Russian Orthodox Church, and in a way going back to a church system that is, you know, claims it's the, every church claims it's the original church, don't they? The Orthodox say we're the originals. The Church of Rome say we're the originals. And, you know, but a lot of people are kind of going back to a much older, more formal, you know, icons, incense. I hear a lot of people saying, I really get moved when I worship in Latin, and it's so much deeper, simply because you don't understand the words. And going back to that kind of Christianity. And here's where I want to get with you guys. I'm going to end this introduction soon and carry on in tomorrow's video. But the truth is not in... let's just pick on poor old Hillsong, and I love Hillsongs. Don't be put off if I'm just using that as a generic catch-all term for modern worship. The truth isn't in Hillsong. The truth isn't in a Latin, incense-filled Church of Rome Orthodox service. The truth is in the Spirit. And let me say this, you can go and be dazzled by the lights and the smoke show and the cool, amazing music, or you can go and be dazzled, and that's all that's really happening, in another way, to by a service that looks traditional and monks chanting and all that. But what both of those characters are doing is actually shallow in God's eyes. What both of those characters are doing is that they're finding joy, satisfaction, fulfillment, significance in the form rather than the truth. They're finding it in the aesthetic of the powerful 2026 rock concert, or the, you know, 500 AD incense-driven, iconic, you know, Latin service or whatever. You're finding your spiritual joy in that and not in the Spirit. Come on, one last one, I'll end with this. But it's interesting, I was in Israel about 2 or 3 months ago, for me, for the first time there. And I've noticed this, I've heard, you know, I've noticed this parenthetically, for many years, and I felt it myself being in Israel at the same time, there's a lot of people who don't catch what God wants us to catch in the spirit about Israel, and so we capture it in the flesh. We capture it by flags, by shofars, by the key of E minor. We capture it by a style. You'll see people thinking it's like cool wearing a prayer shawl. And now God wants the church to capture something about Israel, but it's captured in the spirit. And this is my second ending, but I'm going to talk about this more in tomorrow's video, but I've been really thinking about this a lot recently, and I suddenly realized I've had so much revelation in about the last 10 or 15 years about the subject of spirit, soul, and body. And I'll be honest, maybe I'm dumb. I don't think I am, but it's taken me years to like get my head around the theology of that and really integrate it into my understanding and my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I probably not even finished this journey, but it's taken me years to actually get to the place where in my own life, in my own walk with God, in my own quiet time with the Lord, if you will, in my own daily walking with the Lord, in my own worship with Him, I begin to differentiate what's of the spirit, what's of the soul, and what's of the body. And again, I'm going to carry on with this tomorrow, but I've actually come to the conclusion that about 99% of what we talk about in church circles, etc., is really all about soulish worship and not about worship in the spirit. But more about that tomorrow. So guys, thank you for watching. Just have an amazing day wherever you're at. Again, consider hitting the subscribe button down there. I really encourage everybody to sign up for our email newsletter, best way of keeping in touch with me. And lastly, yeah, please do pray about becoming a partner to this ministry. We have many people now give something like $10 a month even, that helps. For $10, I can take these videos and put them in front of like 1,000 young people who've never heard this kind of stuff before. And that's a really great deal. So please do pray about doing that. And thank you for all of my amazing faithful partners. We love and appreciate you. Bless you in Jesus' name. See you tomorrow.